So to help us enter this space of exploring these scriptures, I want to start with a moment where you close your eyes or lower your gaze and just see if you can sense, first, the steadfast love of God that's right here in this sanctuary. But then, in the moment that I give you, can you sense, be aware of any of the snakes that are snipping at your heels? Things that you worry about, obsess about, fearful of. Just notice that, are there any snakes nearby? And are you trying to face them, or are you running away from them? Just kind of enter that space for a moment, and we'll do some reflecting together. Let us be still. May you be with us this morning in these reflections, and may your steadfast love always be our strength, Holy One. Amen. So our scriptures this morning offer us a couple of images of how to respond to the suffering, to the sin of the world, to the suffering and sin that gets into us, to the brokenness of life. Moses tells the Israelites to put that image of a snake up on a pole, the snakes that have been biting them, and whoever looks at them will find healing. In the gospel lesson, we are told that Jesus will be lifted up on the cross, and all those who believe in him, who trust in him, who trust in the self-giving love of God, will inherit eternal life, will find a wholeness beyond understanding. Now, both of those passages are worthy of analysis, of intellectual exploration, and pose a lot of questions. What is this whole business with the serpent on the pole anyway? And what exactly with Jesus on the cross are we to believe? And how does that work? And I could go that way with this sermon, but that would keep us at the level of ideas in my head, in our heads. And the real point of both these passages is that when you descend down into your heart and face the pain of your lives, of our lives, and let yourself be found by love, then light begins to shine. So let me share with you my own contemporary image that kind of fits in, I think, with these other two that take me into my heart and hopefully will help you be taken into your heart. So to me, what the scriptures are telling me is about snakes. And I go back to an image that came to me for the first time 40 years ago now when I was in seminary. And the very poisonous snake that was chasing me was the fact that just a couple years before, my 17-year-old brother had committed suicide. I was 24 at the time of his death, and when all these images came, it was a couple of years later as I was marching my way through seminary. But I remember so vividly when I got the call. It was my very first week in seminary. I got a call that my brother was gone. I flew out to Indiana because my seminary was in Boston, come to New England, was kind of running away from some other things from home, but went to Indiana back home for the funeral. Very, very painful, very, very tight, very anguished by us all. I was the oldest of five. He was number four. Came back to seminary basically to run away from all of that, which was very easy to do. Plunging into my first year of seminary, I was learning Greek. I was learning church history. I loved history, so I could just disappear into the 6th century, learning biblical theology, learning how to preach, doing all those things, hoping I could outrun that snake. But the poison actually had just gotten into me too deeply. He was more than just a brother, if you will. We were very, very close. When our dad moved out, when I was 10, both Simon and his little brother kind of clung to me often. And when they were very little, they used to come and snuggle in with me in bed. So we would sleep together just to kind of comfort each other. And as they grew, I was played with them all the time. But Simon was complicated from the beginning. He probably had some undiagnosed things. And growing up in our kind of family, nothing got diagnosed. And so I felt like something was wrong and I didn't know what to do about it, feeling responsible for things that were way beyond me. And so when he died, I just felt like I had failed, that I should have done something. And so therefore, running away from the whole thing that I didn't know what to do about. And so after a couple of years of running, I kind of was at the very cusp of turning. I'd gotten some help, gotten some people to talk to me about all this. I was just beginning to understand the deep-seated alcoholism in our family that had run through the family for a couple of, probably more than a couple generations, but there were all these secrets in our families that was all contributing. There were lots of snakes. And it was really all too much for me. And so in the middle of all that, I'm in my preaching class, and the professor assigns us to preach a sermon. And then he said, "Don't just preach a regular sermon. I want to hear something that you really care deeply about." And I'd had enough help by that point to when these little invitations came, I was supposed to steer into them and go as deeply as I could, because as painful as it would be, this would be somehow a doorway to be of help. So I decided to talk about Simon. And instead of opening my Greek New Testament and opening all my books and analyzing the passages to death, I just set all that aside and just sat in my chair in my study and read the scriptures and prayed over it. And that's when my images came. This is what I shared with my classmates. It became my sermon. And so I thought I'd share it with you. So there I am, sitting in my chair, in my study, and my eyes are closed, and then I'm in a different place. I'm still sitting there, but the space is all opened. And instead of a desk in front of me, what's sitting in my lap is a crystal ball, a beautiful, clear glass crystal ball, full of light, full of beauty, full of wonder. And there's my little brother, Simon, there. And it's all these flood of memories of him as a little boy and all the playing and all the fun things, much like with the kids that I speak to today. And all his impulsiveness and all the beauty, all that is there in that crystal ball. And as I'm watching, then things start to shift and his face starts to change. He gets more drawn. Things get more tight. And then suddenly, it all just goes black. It's just completely black. This crystal ball sitting in my lap. And it's not just a crystal ball sitting in my lap. It's like a black hole opening up in the middle of me. So I just am kind of drawn into it. And within a few moments, it's like, it is. I'm in the crystal ball. I'm lost. I'm in this blackness. It's all around me. There's nothing else except blackness. And I'm just spinning. There's no ground, nothing to stand on, nothing to hold on to. Spinning out of control. The emptiness. Just sucking life out of me. I can still just feel that sense of just life being sucked out of me as the blackness just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And that goes on for a while in this image until something very subtle and yet very sudden. It's sudden because everything is so black, anything that changes is sudden. And what happens is like a spark. There's like a little spark. And this awareness comes that not all of me is in this crystal ball, is in this blackness. There's some part of me outside of all this because I'm watching myself, I'm observing myself, I'm seeing myself in the blackness, which is what makes it so black. I'm seeing it. And then as soon as I realize that and awareness comes, I just feel this sadness. And tears come, and there's grief, and there's anguish. And at this point in my image, I don't know if I'm in the image or if I'm sitting still in my chair just crying. I could have been doing both. But the sense of loss is just immense. And as I feel all that, slowly my perspective is getting larger, and I'm seeing this black crystal ball, this black emptiness in space, just get bigger and bigger. And I'm just feeling all of this pain. But then, as it gets big enough, I gradually become aware that there's a little tiny glimmer of light all around the whole thing. And then as it keeps getting larger, I realize that they're hands. They're these tender hands of light and love holding this whole black crystal ball in such a tender way. Hands holding it then, hands that had been holding it all along. Holding my brother, holding me, holding this whole mess, holding all of life, holding all the darkness, holding it steadily and steadfastly. And would keep doing that until it all changed. Whatever that meant. But just this awareness that there was a purpose to this. That something, there was a dynamic. Something was going on here. Those hands of light were holding everything. Holding all the pain, sorrow, sin of life. Until that light would shine through it all. And I had no idea what that meant, how that would work, how the light would get in. But it was crystal clear to me that that's what was happening. That's what's going on. And I found that absolutely stunning. And it just woke me up. And so it was clear to me then, and it's clear to me now, that my task then was, and our task now is, to hold life in just such a way. To join our hands with the hands of God, holding the darkness, feeling the pain, living into the compassion of Christ, as healing and eternal life flow through us. And this is what I told my classmates, this is what it means to believe in Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord. That's what it means to believe.